wise family doctor suggested that she splash ice water in the child's face when he started to have a tantrum. It worked beautifully. He never had another tantrum. At the ripe age of 15 months, he had learned the technique of repression. He had been programmed to repress anger because it produced very unpleasant consequences, and he would carry that dubious talent with him throughout his life. Now, when confronted with the multitude of frustrating, annoying, sometimes enraging things that happen to people every day, this man automatically internalizes his natural anger. When that anger collects and builds up, he will have TMS or some such physical reaction in response to it. The story illustrates one of the sources of the need to repress: innocent parental influence. This may be the most common reason for learning to repress. In an attempt to make good people of their children, parents may inadvertently induce the conditions for psychological difficulty later in life. When you think about it, there are many reasons why we repress anger, all logical and mostly unconscious. Everyone wants to be liked or loved. No one enjoys disapproval, so we repress unlovable behavior. We would hate to admit it, but unconsciously we fear reprisal. The cultural imperatives of family and society provide strong motivation not to show anger. This becomes deeply embedded, starting as it does in early childhood. We realize, all unconsciously, that anger is often inappropriate, springing from irritants which ought not to make us angry, and so we repress. Instinctively, we feel that anger is demeaning, and perhaps even more powerful, we feel a loss of control when we are angry. That is something the TMS personality finds hard to take. All of this is unconscious, and thus we are unaware of our need to repress the anger. Instead, we may experience a physical symptom, TMS, or something gastrointestinal, for example. We seem to have a built-in mechanism for avoiding what is emotionally unpleasant, which is the reason for repression. But there appears to be an equally strong force in the mind working to bring those feelings to consciousness, and that is the reason for reinforcements, for what psychoanalysts call a defense. For many years, I was under the impression that TMS was a kind of physical expression or discharge of the repressed emotions I've described. I'd been aware since the early 1970s that these common back and neck pain syndromes were due to repressed emotions. 88% of a large group of patients with TMS had a history of other tension-related disorders like stomach ulcers, colitis, tension headache, and migraine headache. But the idea of TMS as a physical manifestation of nervous tension was somehow unsatisfactory and incomplete. Most important, it did not explain the repeated observation that making a patient aware of the role of the pain as a participant in a psychological process would lead to cessation of pain, to a cure. It was a psychoanalyst colleague, Dr. Stanley Cohen, who suggested in the course of our working together on a medical paper that the role of the pain syndrome was not to express the hidden emotions, but to prevent them from becoming conscious. This, he explained, is what is referred to as a defense. In other words, the pain of TMS, or the discomfort of a peptic ulcer, of colitis, of tension headache, or the terror of an asthmatic attack, is created in order to distract the attention of the sufferer from what is going on in the emotional sphere. It is intended to focus one's attention on the body instead of the mind. It is a response to the need to keep those terrible, antisocial, unkind, childish, angry, selfish feelings from becoming conscious. It follows from this that far from being a physical disorder in the usual sense, TMS is really part of a psychological process. Defenses against repressed emotions work by diverting one's attention to something other than the emotions that are being kept hidden in the unconscious. Patients have different metaphors to describe the process, that the defense acts as a camouflage, that it is a diversion or distraction. To be successful, it must occupy one's attention, and it works even better if you are totally preoccupied or obsessed with whatever it is. That is why physical defenses are so good. They have the ability to really grab one's attention, particularly if they are painful, frightening, and disabling. This is exactly what happens with TMS. It has been a recurrent observation of mine that the more painful the repressed emotion, the more severe the pain of TMS has been. The patient who is found to be harboring enormous anger as a result of childhood abuses, for example, usually has severe disabling pain. The pain disappears only when that person has an opportunity to express the terrible, festering rage that has occupied his or her unconscious for years. Another example of the potential of anger to initiate the pain of TMS. Other physical disorders may serve the same purpose as TMS. A few of the more common ones are gastroesophageal reflux, hiatus hernia, irritable bowel syndrome, hay fever or asthma, tension or migraine headaches, eczema, psoriasis, acne or hives, dizziness, and frequent urination. All of these disorders should be treated by one's regular physician. Though they may be serving a psychological purpose, they must be investigated and treated medically. Hopefully, the patient will also receive some counseling. Each of these physical conditions serves equally to assist repression. The more that practitioners identify them as, quote, purely physical, the more they assist in the defense mechanism, which means the continuation of the pain, the ulcer, headache, or whatever is going on. As long as the defense works, it will continue. Physical, as opposed to psychological defenses against repressed emotions, are undoubtedly the most common because they are so successful. They are also very effective since a patient can transfer from one to another. For example, excellent drugs have been found to reverse the pathology of peptic ulcer,